reading again. Mr. Thornton.
Hey, Mr. Brownlee, what portion of the M3 project development cost do you expect to fund with the CID bonds?
Objection. Asked and answered.
Overruled.
Well, that'll vary depending upon market conditions, the velocity of sales in the project. But currently, what we had asked Mr. Froelich's firm to do was to try to anticipate what a reasonable amount of funding would be, and I believe that's the $217.3 million.
Okay. And in the letter from Mr. Froelich, Exhibit 83, sent to you in Department of Water Resource, on page, let's see, I thought it was 3. Could you describe on page 3 of Exhibit 83, the paragraph underneath the caption status of the M3 Eagle CID, where there's a statement about midway through a sentence that says, it is anticipated that a general obligation bond election of no less than $400 million will be held upon the establishment of the M3 CID. So how does that $217 million compare to what is stated in this letter, $400 million? How do I better understand what appears to be two different numbers?
Well, I believe that's the same question you asked Mr. Froelich earlier today, and the answer to that is that that's the initial election that is held to establish the maximum amount of funding that will be utilized as general obligation bonds within the district. It has no relevancy to the amount that we anticipate funding.
But still, potentially we'll be asking for an election of $400 million worth of bonds, is that correct?
The what we would be doing is establishing at the initial establishment of the district a maximum of $400 million, or no less than $400 million would be held upon the establishment of the district. I think it speaks for itself.
Okay. If you'd refer to Exhibit 83, page 6, completed by Stanley Consultants. Is the breakout of expenses between the CID and the developer portions of development expenses a reasonable estimate of the anticipated proration of cost?
Well, the way that was derived was to review each one of those categories and determine what would be eligible to finance under the CID. So, yes.
Okay. And then considering the current economic environment, do you anticipate that the M3 CID bonds will require some form of credit enhancement?
No.
Would that be at any phase, in the early phase or the later phase, would that still be no for credit enhancement?
I have no idea. Typically, credit enhancement gives you a better rating on the bond and a better interest rate on the bond. It doesn't really have to do with the sellability of the bonds. The sellability is based upon the lien to fair market value ratios of the district.
Okay. Do you anticipate issuing CID bonds throughout the life of the project?
Yes.
How long do you think the project of phase one will take to complete?
Well, it depends on what the ultimate phase one is, but if it's similar to what's been provided as our phasing plan, we think those will take somewhere between a 3 and 6 year period per phase, depending upon market conditions.
Okay. So at what point in the development will the actual value or adjusted market value for assessment purposes be sufficient to issue CID bonds to recover the initial infrastructure cost?
Depends on how you phase the project and what those costs are. As Mr. Froelich testified, there's two types of bonds. One would be a GO bond that would be have a growing issuance value based upon the increasing fair market value of the property or the assessed value of the property. These special assessment bonds would be based upon the fair market value of the completed improvements within that phase. So I think through that combination, you would allocate those resources as they came in to the infrastructure that you elect to finance with it in each phase.
So are the special assessment bonds associated with the what is identified in Mr. Froelich's letter to you, Exhibit 83, is $7,500 per home?
Can you direct me to where it says $7,500 per home?
Yeah. Bear with me. I think it's on the footnote on page 4.
Okay.
And in about the, I think it's the third sentence, special assessment bonds assume an average assessment of $7,500 per unit. 1 year of capitalized interest, 4%. Cost of issuance, 2% underwriter discount, and a 10% reserve fund. Is that the special assessment that you're talking about to help pay for the upfront capital improvement cost?
Correct.
And so will not the completion or the installation, the initial development of the water system and the wastewater system have to be paid for before you have one home to put the special assessment tax on?
Well, the technicalities of how the district's operator question you should have directed to Mr. Froelich. That's not my field of expertise. Way with which bonds are sold, the amount of revenue that can be sold per phase is not something that I feel comfortable testifying to.
So you don't know if the special assessment revenue that is attached to each sell of each home will in fact be available to help pay for the initial cost of the infrastructure. Is that correct?
The ability to sell bonds and the total capacity of the bond financing is set forth in Mr. Froelich's testimony in his letter at $217.3 million. They've done an analysis for us that says that they have confidence that they can sell that amount of bonds based upon the assessed valuation of not only the residential but the commercial that will be developed within the community. How that cash flow flows and how we either finance against the final sale of those bonds or utilize the bond funding proceeds themselves to develop the infrastructure will be dependent upon the size of phase, the timing of the phase, and the velocity that exists in the marketplace.
So what development cost would have been incurred at the point where you can utilize CID bonds or general obligation bonds? What point in the project and what associated development cost will there be, and how many lot sales with the accompanying homes will have been completed before you can start using general obligation bonds to pay for the upfront development cost?
I'm going to object. I think it's a very complex compound question. I'm not sure it asks a discrete question. That's the basis for the objection.
And I can try to read.
Need to separate out all of them.
Yeah, thank you, and I'll try to do that. What are the anticipated costs for the development of the water system and the wastewater system identified on Exhibit A, page 6 of Exhibit 83?
Objection. This was covered in Mr. Froelich's testimony, and the exhibit speaks for itself.
Well, that's a preliminary question. I'll allow it to stand, Mr.
The sewer system says $33,828,000 and the water system says $18,733,000.
And prior to being able to use the CID bonds, what upfront cost will the developer M3 have to come up with prior to them being able to get any CID bonds?
Well, the upfront cost that we've come up with to date is about $79 million. So there's additional costs that need to be incurred prior to the commencement of construction, which I believe our anticipated budget for that is somewhere in the neighborhood of about $8 million.
Okay. And then what has to be an approximate assessed value for you to come up with those general obligation bonds of what is in place?
I don't have those calculations.
Would you look that, have you seen that that's approximately somewhat over $400 million in assessed values?
I have no way to verify or discuss those calculations.
And you're aware of the 12%, I guess, criteria that is used for the general obligation bonds?
Objection. I think it's a vague question. I don't know what the question is.
I want to go to the statutes.
I'm sorry for interrupting, Mr. Hearing Officer. Go ahead.
I understand the question. Allowed to stand, Mr. Brown.
The 12%, is that the question?
Yes.
I'm not sure whether the 12% is applicable to the special assessment or the GO bonds.
Yes, to the GO bonds, okay. I would state.
I would think that a large portion of the infrastructure in this project will be financed with special assessment bonds, and the GO bonds would be an add-on over time.
And how's M3 going to come up with monies for the special assessment bonds?
Well, we'll either sell the bonds, or in the instance of DP&F, they may elect to purchase the bonds depending upon what the rate of interest on those bonds are. We may finance against the ultimate sell of the bonds after we complete construction. There's a number of ways with which to do that. It's not uncommon to our industry.
So how will you finance the initial startup phase of putting in the infrastructure for wastewater and water, not even talking about roads and arterials and all that stuff? How are you going to finance that?
Well, I think we've covered this road no less than a half a dozen times, that we will either utilize debt from third-party institutional investors. DP&F, as evidenced by the CDK letter, will either put in, I believe that it says, last line, additional requirements for funding for the company in accordance with an approved business plan will be funded as direct equity or debt investments from DPFPS or through institutional debt.
Okay. What was the market value for assessment purposes of the M3 plan community project as of December 31st, 2008?
Don't know. We didn't do an assessment of market value.
Did not the county do an assessment for the value of your property?
The property is assessed as ag land right now.
And what was the market value assessment for
that? I have no idea.
So what do you expect the market value for assessment purposes of the M3 plan community project to be at the end of this fiscal year, December 31st, 2009?
I have no idea. It has no bearing on where I sit today.
Is not the bearing based on the general obligation bonds being 12% of the assessed value? That's what you can potentially.
That would have a bearing on the general obligation bond, but it wouldn't have any effect on the special assessment bonds or the utilization of other types of financing. That's based upon fair market value of the land and improvements upon completion.
I'll call your attention the last time again to Exhibit 83, page 3, the paragraph underneath status of M3 Eagle CID, where it again states that It is anticipated that a general obligation bond election of no less than $400 million will be held upon the establishment of the M3 CID. With that sentence there, how do you state that you're looking at using special assessment bonds and not general obligation bonds?
I'm confused by your question.
Well, and I am too. What I see in a statement there, help
okay,
me.
Are you retracting the question?
I'll retract, yes. Thank you.
So that would allow all three of them to
meet. Yeah. Okay. It states that in on page 3 of Exhibit 83, underneath the paragraph that's titled Status of M3 Eagle CID, it says it is anticipated that M3 Eagle will be established, or the M3 Eagle CID will be established upon the annexation of the project into the city boundaries, which we anticipate being completed by December 2009. This will allow M3 CID to issue special assessment bonds, general obligation bonds, and revenue bonds to finance the construction and or acquisition of public improvements pursuant to the Act. Question I have, it states the next sentence, it is anticipated that a general obligation bond election of no less than $400 million will be held upon the establishment of the M3 CID. I ask the question again, where are you going to come up with the funding without a letter of irrevocable credit with certainty to take care of the infrastructure that will be needed in phase one, especially for the water, potable water, and the wastewater?
Objection, the question has been asked and answered. Furthermore, it lacks foundation with regard to the statement about certainty.
Let's go to here. Okay. So if you could turn to the Idaho statutes, which I believe is somewhere on the table in front of you, describing the CID bonds, the CID, the districts. And if you could turn to the statute 503115, and it's close to the bottom and not. Okay, no, it's not. I'm sorry. Strike that. We've got a different copy here. So when you get to 3115.1. Okay. And number 2, does this cover or address the requirements for disclosure to potential buyers of the impact of various special assessments and other bonds?
Objection, I believe that calls for a legal conclusion. If he knows, I suppose he can answer, but to the extent he's being asked to interpret the statute, I would object.
Overruled. Mr. Brownlee, you may answer if you can.
Well, I think the statute speaks for itself. That's specifically states in there in quotes, CID tax and special assessment district, a special assessment disclosure notice, unquote, and specifically and conspicuously set forth, quote, you are purchasing real property that is included within the boundaries of a community infrastructure district, unquote. So I think it pretty clearly says what the intent of it is.
Okay. So have you drafted the language of these disclosures and estimated the various amounts to be disclosed for your potential buyers?
objection beyond the scope.
Overruled.
There are several documents that DPFNG has listed in their submittal that are being drafted and worked through with the city. And we can specifically refer to those. And I do not believe that the documents listed in Exhibit 83, page 5, set forth that that document has been drafted.
And so what will be the intent of those disclosures by M3 to potential buyers when you will be using the financial mechanisms of either special assessments and general obligation bonds?
Objection. The question is vague. Once again, he's asking either one item and another. I'm not sure what he's being asked to answer.
Okay.
I can try it again. Is this the, what is the purpose of those disclosures to the individuals?
Okay. And could you describe what are the purpose of those disclosures that are identified as a requirement in the statutes to the potential buyers? What's the purpose?
Objection. Asks for a legal conclusion or interpretation of a statute. The statute speaks for itself.
Sustain.
Okay. How do you anticipate financing the developer portion of the non-CID eligible costs shown on the Stanley Consultants Exhibit, page 6, Exhibit 83, of approximately $130 million?
Through equity, institutional debt, or cash flow from sales of the project.
Okay. We'll go to an exhibit we haven't been to for a while. It's Exhibit 54, page 1. 54. I believe that is one of the original documents that M3 provided with some of the financial statements. Mm-hmm. You see on page 1, are you... So on page 1 of Exhibit 54, it reflects members' equity of $64 million. What is the source of this equity injection by which individuals or which entities? Where is the $64 million coming from?
Objection. This exhibit was not discussed in this direct. So we don't think it's appropriate to inquire into it here.
It's in the open, too.
Yeah, can we turn it
to the room?
That's the room. And for Mr. Hearing Officer. Okay, and if I could add to that. Okay, all right.
The question is, where did the $64,765,983 come from?
Yes.
Well, there's been a lot of testimony that the $79,750,866, which is the total investment that Dallas Police Fire and Pension Fund has made in M3 Eagle LLC.
Okay. As a $15 million unsecured note described in your Exhibit 54 been renewed since its maturity date of February 25th, 2009?
Yes.
Okay. And in what form is that today?
Bearing the same form that it had when we borrowed the funds. We pay the interest on it monthly.
Okay. And could you describe the credit enhancement associated with the interest that is payable monthly?
You refer to something specific you're talking about?
Yeah, if you would go to, again, a note. Okay, we go to Exhibit 54, again, page, I think it's note 3. And on the back, is it the last page of Exhibit 54 underneath note 3? The second paragraph identifies facility, unsecured note with base interest payable monthly at a rate of LIBOR plus 40 basis points plus credit enhancement, interest payable monthly 500 basis points maturing on that date. Could you describe what the credit enhancement vehicle is?
That's just the spread that Dallas Police and Fire earns over the cost of their funds.
Okay. And is so currently, is this credit enhancement vehicle still in place on that $15 million note?
Yes.
Okay. And what period does the new note cover?
It's annual.
And do you have any evidence to show that this will be carried into the future?
Not that we can put into the record, but I don't know what bearing that has on what we're doing here today.
Are there any M3 parent company or owner guarantees or pledges that support the credit that has been granted to date?
No.
And do you presently have an irrevocable letter of credit or financing commitment in amount sufficient to complete this project, this 30-year project?
Objection. Asking the answer.
No, but that's just not reality relative to developing a master plan community or any project that has a time frame of 30 years.
And if we could refer you to, I believe it's been entered and we wrote it down in one of our copies, it's a CDK letter from CDK to you, Mr. Brownlee, and to the Department of Water Resource, dated June 22nd, Exhibit 87. So why is this letter from CDK Realty Advisors and not from the Dallas Police and Fire Pension System?
Because the, as the signature block represents, they are the authorized representative of the Dallas Police and Fire Pension System.
Could you describe to me where in that signature block it's clear that they are the authorized, I guess, spokesperson or whatever for the Dallas Police and Fire Pension System?
That's right there. It says it's authorized representative.
And so that tells you that they're authorized. Okay. Who do you review and get approval from your annual business plan and funding requirements?
As I described earlier, the process is that we work directly with CDK advisors, and when we have a plan that we both agree on, then the plan is taken to the board of directors for the Dallas Police and Fire Pension System or reviewed by the administrative officer for the fund.
And so you work with Mr. John Donahue on that?
That's correct.
Okay. Who do you work with at the Dallas Pension Plan?
My partner, Scott Shermer, is more directly involved with the members of Dallas Police and Fire Pension System than I am, but we have meetings occasionally with board members or with the directors of the Dallas Police and Fire Pension System. So
you
it's
work,
a various number of different people.
Do you work with Mike Taylor?
No, I don't work directly with Mike Taylor.
Do you work with Richard Tedemant, the pension system administrator?
Sometimes, yes.
Do you believe the IDWR should get a copy of the annual authorization from CDK and/or Dallas Pension Plan?
Objection. I ask for him to speculate about something he's not qualified to testify.
Sustained.
Does IDWR get a copy of the annual authorization from CDK and/or the Dallas Pension Plan?
Do they?
Do they?
We have never submitted anything like that to IDWR.
Okay. Is CDK a public or private entity?
Private.
Does the Dallas Pension Plan review CDK's overall performance?
Objection. Ask this witness to testify on something beyond the scope of direct and also something beyond what he clearly is qualified to testify about.
Sustained.
Does the Dallas Pension Plan review the performance of M3?
Of course they would.
Do they review the performance of CDK?
I have no idea what their performance standards between CDK and the fund are.
Do you know how many other realty investments CDK manages?
As I said, I have no inner working knowledge of CDK's investments, management structure, or relationship with the Dallas Police and Fire Pension System.
So do you know what portion of M3's investment is in terms of the entire Dallas Pension Plan?
Objection. This was beyond the directive scope, and it's already an area in which the hearing officer has ruled that we aren't, that isn't relevant to this case.
Does M3 have other investments managed by and or through CDK?
Yes.
Is the Camel Square Office Park in Phoenix one of these CDK projects?
Yes.
And what is the status of that project, of the Camel Square Office Park project?
Objection. Beyond irrelevant.
Sustained.
Have you given testimony as to a number of other M3 projects that are financially doing well?
I gave testimony to other projects.
Can you give us testimony to one of M3's projects for Camel Square Office Park and how it is doing financially and how it is, that question first.
Objection, irrelevant.
I think Mr. Brownlee has testified about success with other projects, even in his rebuttal testimony. I'll allow the question to stand. Mr. Brownlee?
Could he ask me a question, please? Could he re-ask the question, please?
Yes. For the Camel Square Office Park in Phoenix, what is the status of that project in terms of financial status?
When you say financial status, can you be specific about your question? That's a vague question. Okay.
I'll re-ask a question.
Thank you.
The plan for Camel Square Office Park, was this plan approved by the City Council?
No, it was not.
And what is the financial impact to M3 because of the failure of that project?
Project didn't fail. We withdrew the zoning case. It was approved at the Planning Commission. We withdrew the zoning case, which was seeking a total redevelopment of the site. The project is being managed as an office project. The Dallas Police and Fire Pension System own the project free and clear. We office at the project.
So based on your many years of development experience in different markets and time, what is the probability of a planned community losing its funding over the course of, say, 5 or 10 years?
Well, the probability is dependent upon structure of financial, the financial structure of the community. So if you're a highly leveraged community and you run into an economic downturn such as the one we've had in the markets over the last 2 years, the probability is high. If you're a a well-capitalized, low or no leverage community. You have the ability to go through the ups and downs that occur in a marketplace. There is going to be several cycles within a real estate market in the lifetime of a master plan community.
And are you aware that this exact circumstance occurred at the only other water right ever issued in Idaho under the future needs and long horizon planning statute, which is a Tamarack Resort?
Objection.
Sustained.
Did you know that after investing nearly $400 million in Tamarack, their whole project went into bankruptcy because the credit agreement of over $300 million with Credit Suisse was called due and payable and left them with no ability to go forward?
Objection, relevancy.
Sustained, and I don't want any more questions or discussions about the Tamarack project.
Okay. That's all of our questions, Mr. Hearing Officer. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Brownlee.
Mr. Brownlee, I believe you said on cross-examination that cooking the books was your term and not anything that any of the participants have ever used.
What I believe I said is that was a reference that I used and it was my term, yes.
And the term fraud, is that also your term?
No, what fraud was mentioned relative to paragraph 5 of, I believe, exhibit
86.
Paragraph 5 of exhibit 86 has the word fraud in it, and I read that verbatim into the record.
But you've never heard any protestant use the word fraud, have you, during all of these proceedings?
No.
Are you aware that the statute, the administrative water appropriation rules, require a certified financial statement and a commitment letter from the lender?
Objection, that is not what is required in the rules. We've been through this before.
Sustained.
I have the rule right here in front of me. Is the applicant shall submit a current financial statement certified and a financial commitment letter along with the financial statement of the lender.
Or?
Yeah, we've been through this language, Mr. Smith. And it's not something that we can explore with Mr. Bradley. Please move on.
Are you aware that Title 42 requires the applicant to make the application in good faith?
I would assume any application that you would make should be in good faith.
And that, in fact, is all the protestants have been asking about, isn't it?
Objection.
With these questions regarding your financial condition?
Objection. It asks him to assume what's in the protestants' minds.
Sustained.
That's all I have.
Okay. I have no questions. Redirect.
Mr. Brownlee, with regard to Mr. Thornton's questions of you concerning annexation, the question of the public process for annexation was discussed. You recall that?
Yes.
That public process is a City of Eagle public process, isn't that correct?
That's correct.
With regard to question about Exhibit 83, footnote 1, that Mr. Thornton inquired into. The $7,500 number in that footnote is a total fee, is it not? Not an annual fee, correct?
That is correct.
No further questions.
Okay. Mr. Thornton, within the scope of the redirect.
No questions.
Okay, Mr. Smith?
No questions.
Mr. Edwards?
No questions.
Thank you, Mr. Brown.
Thank you.
Further witnesses, Mr. Faraday?
We have no further witnesses.
Okay. Mr. Thornton, you wish to call witnesses on Sir Rebuttal?
We
Yeah, and the, excuse me, sir, rebuttal, I've heard that term, and I probably should better understand it, but if you could...
Oh, I'm sorry.
Let me know what that means, please.
It just means that Mr. Faraday and M3 Eagle LLC have offered their rebuttal testimony. Now you have an opportunity to rebut the information that they have submitted. So that really is what sir rebuttal.
Okay.
Oh, and beyond that.
Oh, I'm sorry?
Well, beyond that, there was also a rebuttal testimony that was offered by the department witnesses, which you may also...
Okay. Yeah, as the only sir rebuttal witnesses we'd like to call up briefly would be Mr. Dennis Owsley and Mr. Sean. So we, is that, I think that's all that we have left.
Sure. Now, did you say that you did not want to recall Mr. Vincent because of his previous testimony?
Oh, not Mr. Vincent, Mr. McVeigh, I believe. That's if
I thought I heard you say Mr. Vincent.
Oh, I would like to call Mr. Vincent and Mr. Owsley for a few questions.
Okay.
Maybe I'm not making myself clear. I apologize.
Who first?
And Mr. Hearing Officer, before we start, I would just like to interpose an objection to sir rebuttal by these witnesses, who have already testified in a rebuttal mode. And I recognize that you indicated that you would entertain their being recalled under certain circumstances. And perhaps, though, I'm just not clear on what those circumstances are. However, I don't believe that under the circumstances that sir rebuttal by them who have not been, who did have an opportunity to testify on rebuttal is proper. I recognize that you likely are going to have them testify, but we would just like a continuing objection.
Okay. Continuing objection is granted. There was examination of expert witnesses regarding of a technical nature, and to the extent that protestants want to explore those subjects with department witnesses, I'll allow that to happen. So who first, Mr. Thornton?
Mr. Owsley, either would be fine. Mr. Owsley,
you come forward.